Two men, two nights, one woman playing God with the truth, and a pregnancy that may not exist at all. I told Logan he might be the father. I told Jude the same. I even told myself I was telling the truth. But when you're a master manipulator, the lies start to feel like love. Then someone flipped the game on me, an anonymous sonogram. A message, you're not the only one who lies. Now the question isn't, who's the father? It's, was there ever a baby at all? The Father's Club is a dark psychological descent into power, deception, and a woman who bends reality, until it bends back. Truth is a choice, and I chose mine. But the shadows have their own memory. Press play, if you dare. Chapter 1. The Plus Sign. I always knew I'd be a mother, just not like this. Not with them, not now. The test sat on the marble counter like a loaded weapon. Two lines, one faint, one screaming. My reflection in the bathroom mirror was calm, almost clinical. I didn't gasp. I didn't cry. I didn't call anyone. I just stared, until my lips curled into the kind of smile they write novels about, the dangerous kind. Outside the bathroom, my loft apartment pulsed with the quiet rhythm of a curated life. Chilled white wine on the counter, untouched. Fresh orchids delivered this morning. My silk robe cinched perfectly, like everything else I touch. Perfect. Except this wasn't an accident. Not really. And the timing? Impeccable. 2 weeks. Two men. Two nights that should have blurred, but didn't. Logan was a venture capitalist. Sleek, self-made, sculpted in that Hamptons tan startup millionaire way. He liked control. He liked knowing he was the smartest in the room, the one with options. That's why I had to take that away from him. Gently, of course. Jude was a different kind of power. Rough, tatted. A tattoo artist with a criminal past and a laugh that made my knees feel unreliable. He was chaos I pretended to tame. He thought I was his muse. I'm no one's muse. I'm the artist. And now, there's me. And two potential fathers. I held the pregnancy test up to the light, like it might confess something new. It didn't. The next steps weren't about fear, they were about leverage. It started with Logan. Predictably punctual, he arrived at my door with that effortless arrogance and an overnight bag that smelled of Palo Santo and custom cologne. We were exclusive, technically, which means nothing when exclusivity is negotiated, not felt. He kissed my cheek like he owned me, and I let him. We drank that untouched wine. We laughed. He talked business. I listened. I talked future. He flinched. It was subtle, but his eyes betrayed him. Logan was allergic to permanence. That's why I knew the pregnancy would terrify him, and why I needed him to think it wasn't his fault. "Have you ever thought about kids?" I asked, between bites of grilled artichoke. He hesitated. "Eventually. I mean, not now, of course. We're still figuring things out." Exactly the script I expected. I leaned back, hand casually resting on my stomach. The silence stretched just long enough. "I'm late," I said. The color drained from his face, visibly, beautifully. "Late?" I nodded, taking a deliberate sip of wine. "2 weeks." "Shit," he breathed, blinking. "Is it?" I tilted my head. "Yours?" I let the question linger in the air like perfume. Then I smiled gently. "I don't know, but I thought you should know." He didn't yell. Logan didn't do drama. He went into solution mode, tapping something into his phone, probably searching for silent clinics or damage control strategies. Men like him didn't like surprises. They liked control. I let him stew in it, gave him space to spiral. The hook was in. The next morning, he left with a kiss and an awkward promise. "Let's talk again soon." Translation, panic, reassessment, strategy. Good. Jude was next. He always came unannounced, like a storm with a spare key. That night, it was thunder and cheap beer. He let himself in, dripping with rebellion and warm danger. "Been thinking about you all week," he said, voice rough like sandpaper. "You should have said something." He smirked. "You like it when I show up." He wasn't wrong. We had sex on the floor, not the bed, not the couch, the floor. No music, no light, just skin and secrets. When he was asleep, mouth slightly open, tattoos rising and falling with every breath, I pressed my hand to my belly again. There was a time I might have called it guilt. Now, it just felt like design. The next morning, I told him too. Same script. Jude, I'm pregnant. He blinked, still half-dressed. Wait, what? I didn't blink. A couple weeks, maybe more. I haven't taken the full test yet. He stared at me for a moment too long, his jaw clenched, then released. Damn. Okay. I mean, wow. He smiled. And then, you think it's mine? I smiled back. Could be. Different man. Same shock. Different reaction. Same uncertainty. I spent the next few days letting the tension simmer. Logan began texting me oddly polite questions. Have you scheduled a doctor visit yet? Jude called me twice a day, leaving chaotic sweet messages. I'm here for you no matter what. They were both circling, orbiting, neither of them sure where the gravity pointed. That's when I booked the test. Not the pregnancy test, the paternity one, but I wouldn't send it in. Not yet. See, it wasn't about the answer. It was about the possibility. 5 days after the news, Logan invited me to brunch in Soho. A calm setting. He wanted to appear rational, measured. I've been thinking, he said over eggs and espresso. If it is mine, we can handle it. But we'll need clarity. You understand? I nodded slowly. You want a test? Just to be sure, he added too quickly. I already took one, I lied. It's not yours. He went silent. You're sure? He asked. I looked him in the eyes and lied again. Yes. He exhaled hard. A strange mix of relief and regret. That's when I twisted the knife. But I haven't told him yet. Jude. He's volatile. I'm worried he might think it's a trap. That I did this on purpose. Logan's jaw twitched. Did you? I laughed. Do I look stupid? That night, Logan wired $4,200 to my account, just in case. Jude came over 2 nights later. Drunk, sincere. He sat on the edge of my bed, holding one of the prenatal vitamins I left out like bait. You taking these now? I nodded. For the baby. He kissed me then. Not lust. Ownership. I want to do this right, he said. I want to be there. We can move in together. Hell, we can get a place outside the city if you want. I rested my head on his shoulder. That means everything to me. And then last night, I did something I can't take back. I pulled up Logan's texts, screen recorded them, and sent them to myself. Then I forwarded them, selectively edited, to Jude. Just enough to stir suspicion, not enough to trace. He hasn't replied yet. But I know Jude. He doesn't like games, especially when he realizes he's in one. Chapter 2. Bleeding into the silence. The silence was louder than any scream. Jude hadn't texted back. Not a word. Not an emoji. Not even a goddamn question mark. Just absence. Which meant he saw the message. He watched the screen-recorded texts. He read Logan's name and my words, and the way I carefully choreographed the thread to suggest a betrayal I never said outright. That was the art. It wasn't a lie. It was a performance. He was probably sitting in that grimy studio of his, paint-splattered jeans and half a cigarette in his hand, replaying the video again and again, imagining a relationship I never confirmed, and wondering why the man with the suit and hedge fund was talking about paternity behind his back. Good. Let it boil. I lit a candle in the living room, jasmine and something musky. Logan hated it, said it gave him headaches. I didn't care. I poured myself a glass of wine I wouldn't drink. Not really. Just enough for the illusion. Sat on the velvet sofa and waited. It was almost midnight when the buzzer rang. Jude? I said softly into the intercom. Nothing. Then a click. I left the door unlocked. He came up without a word. Hoodie, hood still up, rain dripping off the sleeves. He smelled like leather and bourbon and rage. His eyes scanned the room like it was foreign. "I saw what you sent," he said. "No hello." "I figured." He held up his phone. "Logan? You've been talking to that guy?" I nodded slowly. "I told you before, it wasn't serious, it was a phase. I ended it." "When?" His voice cracked like gravel under boots. "Before I told you about the baby." Why the hell was he texting you after that, then? I didn't blink. "Because he thinks it's his." That shattered something. Jude stepped back, rubbed the side of his face like it stung. "Is it?" My silence was louder than any answer. He sat down hard, hands gripping his knees like he might split open. "You said you weren't with anyone else." "I said I loved you," I whispered. "Not that I was perfect." He laughed, loud and broken. "You're twisted, you know that." "I'm scared," I said. "You think this is easy?" The silence sat between us like a corpse. Then he stood slowly. "You need to make a choice." "I already did," I said, standing too. "I kept it." "That's not what I meant." "I know." He left without another word. The next day, Logan showed up unannounced. He didn't even knock, just used the key I forgot he still had. "Do you have any idea what you've done?" He was holding a manila envelope. "Papers, contracts, a preemptive parenting agreement." "I'm not signing anything," I said calmly. "This isn't a threat, it's protection. For both of us." "Protection from what? The baby? Or each other?" He didn't answer, so I kept going. "Jude knows about you," I told him. Logan flinched. "Why the fuck would you do that?" "Because he deserves to know. He thinks it's his." Logan looked at me for a long time. Then, slowly, softly, "Is it? Does it matter?" His voice sharpened. "It does to me. My name. My legacy." I stepped closer, face inches from his. "I could end this right now. Tell you, it's not yours. Walk away." "But you won't." "No," I said, smiling. "I won't." The next week blurred. Jude stopped coming by. Logan hovered too close. My phone buzzed with their competing tension, Jude's silence, Logan's suffocating control. I went to the clinic. Alone. The nurse smiled as she printed the results. "You're about 9 weeks," she said gently. "Looks like twins. Twins. Twins." I almost laughed. "Two. Two lives. Two fathers. Two stories twisted together like barbed wire." I walked home in a fog, climbed into a hot bath, and let the water rise until my ears were submerged and the world vanished. I didn't cry, but something inside me cracked open. That night, I called them both. Voicemails only. I left the same message. "We need to talk. It's urgent. I know who the father is. Let the games begin." Logan arrived first. Always first. Always ready to negotiate. He wore a jacket more expensive than my rent, and a cologne that smelled like dominance. "You got the test?" I nodded. "But I haven't told Jude yet." "Good," he said. "Too quickly." "That's smart." "I want to do this civilly," I said, pulling a folder from my bag. The paper was blank, but he didn't know that. "I need your support," I added, "but not your control." Logan's smile faltered. "Support comes with boundaries." "So does motherhood." He sat, adjusting his tie like he was preparing for a deposition. I let the silence stretch until he spoke again. "What do you want, exactly?" I looked him dead in the eyes. "Options." Jude showed up an hour later. He didn't knock. He kicked the door. "Tell me the truth," he shouted, before I could speak. "Is it mine or not?" I stood still, arms crossed. "I had the test done," I said quietly. "It's not what you think." "Cut the shit." I stepped closer. "It's not yours. It's not Logan's either." He blinked. "What?" I smiled slowly. It's both. He shook his head. What the hell are you talking about? Twins, I whispered. One from each of you. His jaw unhinged. That's not possible. It is, I said. Rare, but real. It's called heteropaternal superfecundation. He stared like I'd cast a spell. I don't believe you. You don't have to, but I need you both to understand. This isn't a game anymore. These are lives. They'll have names. Faces. And what? He spat. We just share custody like roommates? No, I said. You compete. What? I'm not choosing. You'll earn your way in. One wrong move? You're out. For good. He left in silence. Logan called the next morning. I don't believe you. Then take your test. You're bluffing. Try me. By the end of the week, Jude sent flowers and a check for $5,000. Logan sent a lawyer and a prenup. Neither of them knew I hadn't mailed in the paternity test yet, because the truth doesn't matter as much as the fear. They'll believe whatever I feed them, because they need to, because uncertainty is the leash. And I hold it. But that night, something changed. I came home to find my front door cracked open. No sign of forced entry. The hallway was quiet. Too quiet. I stepped inside, heart pounding. On the kitchen island sat a photo. A sonogram. Not mine. Just a single line of text, written in thick black Sharpie. You're not the only one who lies. Chapter 3. Proof of Nothing. The photo was still warm from a printer. Heavy stock paper. Fresh ink. Not mine. The handwriting. Familiar. I picked it up with trembling fingers, not because I was afraid. No, I was excited. It meant the game had finally turned three-dimensional. Someone else knew. Someone was watching. Someone was capable of a deeper manipulation than I anticipated. I smiled. Then I locked every door in the apartment. For the next hour, I scrubbed every message, every folder, every trace from my phone. I deleted voice memos, burned the paternity report I never sent, and smashed the backup flash drive against the marble countertop. Paranoia, maybe. But power is fragile, and control is a mirror. It only takes one crack. Logan called first. Of course he did. Was someone in your apartment? He snapped, already knowing the answer. Yes. Who? I don't know. Was it him? You mean Jude? He didn't say anything, which was an answer. You're getting sloppy, I said quietly. You're getting dangerous. I almost laughed. Logan, sweetie, I was born dangerous. You just mistook it for elegance. Click. Jude came next, this time in person. Pounded the door until the hinges begged for mercy. I opened it calmly, wearing satin and sin. He held the photo up like a weapon. You think this is funny? I didn't leave it. You expect me to believe that? You're here, aren't you? He threw it at my feet. Whose is it? Not mine, I said, bending slowly to pick it up. He looked at me like I was made of smoke. I want the truth. No, I said, standing tall. You want certainty. And I'm not your mother, Jude. I don't give out trophies for tantrums. His hand twitched. I saw it. For a second, just a flash, he wanted to hit me. That was the moment I knew I'd won, because real power is being unstruck. That night, I didn't sleep. I sat at the window and watched the streetlights flicker across the hood of Logan's parked Tesla, two floors down. Jude's motorcycle had been there earlier, now gone. But Logan stayed. Like a watchdog. Like a coward. I held my stomach and whispered to them. The twins, like they could hear me through muscle and blood. I made you on purpose, I said, and I'll raise you on my terms. The next morning, I received a letter. No return address. Handwritten. You think you control the narrative, but you've never been the author. You lied to me. You lied to both of us. So I'm going to give you what you gave us. Confusion. Uncertainty. Fear. And then I'm going to take something from you too. There was no signature. But taped to the bottom corner. A copy of the original sonogram, Only this one had a third heartbeat circled in red ink. I dropped the letter, hands shaking. Number. That couldn't be right. I went back to the clinic, demanded answers. Cried, screamed, begged. No, you're having twins, the nurse said firmly. Just two. I showed her the photo. She frowned. This isn't your scan. This isn't even from our system. When I got home, the apartment was clean. Too clean. The orchid on the coffee table was gone. So was the framed photo of me and Logan from Aspen. The ultrasound was gone. Even the wine I never drank. In its place, one thing. A single post-it note on the mirror. Not yours, either. I called Logan, straight to voicemail. I called Jude, straight to static. I called the clinic. They had no record of my test results ever being picked up. Are you sure it was this location? They asked. My body went cold. I checked my banking app. The $4,200 Logan wired. Reversed. The $5,000 check from Jude. Never deposited. I opened the closet. The silk robe I wore when I took the test. Gone. Like none of it ever happened. I ran to the bathroom, pulled open the drawer. The pregnancy test, still there, still with two lines. Except, there was only one. Now, one faint, lonely line. Negative. I stared at it for 10 minutes. 20. Was it old? Expired? Was I dreaming? Was I ever pregnant? I turned the bathroom upside down. No vitamins, no blood tests, no appointment cards, no calendar marks, no journal entries. Nothing. Just me, my reflection, and a story collapsing in on itself. That night, I curled into the bed alone and whispered into the darkness. I know what I did. But no one answered. Not Jude. Not Logan. Not the twins I may never have had. Just silence. Just shadows. Just me.